most of my rides, I get up and I start hitting the trail at 6 a.m. and I'm done and I'm off to school or work by 9:30, and I'm with my family or we're working or we're doing something. So I kind of just viewed my mountain bike as like this hobby, really. And sharing the videos, if it got people stoked, like, that was great. Also, I loved just making new connections. Like, I have met so many cool people. And that was, I guess the real goal was to meet and make new connections. And then just use it as a platform to bring people together.
Welcome, mountain bikers. Thanks for tuning in to the Inside Line podcast. We have a special guest today, Mr. Braden Bringhurst. You may know him as @BikerBraid on Instagram. He's going crazy with huge gaps, creative lines, super technical climbing. But Braden may be a lot more down to earth than you'd ever imagine. He's an extremely humble guy who's out to get down on two wheels, but get home, take care of his family too. Braden's only been riding a mountain bike since 2016. He raced BMX with Mitch Ropilato growing up and reconnected with two wheels not too long ago. And hopefully his story inspires you to stay home instead of having that wanderlust to go try something new. Stick around the home trails and see how they're different on different days. Look for new gaps, new lines. Doesn't always have to be about the biggest, baddest adventure. And Braden's riding and his story is proof of that. Enjoy the show. This Vital MTB Inside Line podcast is brought to you by Jensen USA. Shop for great deals and get professional advice on your favorite mountain bikes, components, and riding gear. Over 2 million happy cyclists served since 1994. Visit jensenusa.com/theinsidelinepodcast and use code INSIDELINE for 10% off qualifying items. Max's Tires. Where the rubber meets the dirt, Maxxis makes no compromise tires for any rider, any trail, any time. All right, to get the levels rolling, and we just met 30 seconds ago, but how'd finals go?
Oh, gosh. Finals are kind of the whole cram, forget it. Hopefully I learned what I'm supposed to learn, but it's going. I still got one more this Friday, so.
Okay, this coming Friday. What are you studying?
So I'm getting my MBA at Boise State.
Okay.
So I did my film degree down at BYU in Utah.
Oh, cool.
And then, Boise State has a great little MBA program, so I'm doing that.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
How old are you?
I'm 30.
30, okay.
Yeah, I'm 30.
Because watching you ride, I'm like, all right, are you like 19, like shredding super hard? And then I saw some of your Instagram things, like the tutorials you had.
Yeah.
Kind of in the story zone. Yeah. I don't know what it was called, but... Yeah, I was like, okay, a little bit older, yeah. All right, cool. Well, there's a 30s old or something, right?
Well, it is a little bit, I guess, for the mountain bike world.
Yeah. Why'd you go into film? We'll get into all your history and stuff, but
Let me take this off.
Yeah, let's wait.
So I got into film just as a kid. I just loved making movies of my snow skiing, my BMX racing, my... Okay. Skateboarding, wakeboarding. I just loved making edits, season edits.
Yeah.
And I just really just loved the whole process of it. So, that's kind of where that passion was. And then, just one thing led to another. And now it's just kind of on a bigger scale.
Yeah.
Huh. It's kind of crazy.
Dude,
yeah.
It's all right. You're putting it together. Like got kind of the action sports background, snow, yeah. Skate, stuff like mm-hmm. that. Okay. All right. I'll give a proper introduction so people know what we're talking about here. But Vital MT Beers, welcome to the Inside Line podcast. I'm Sean Spomer, and today's guest is Braden Bringhurst. Is that it?
That's it.
Do they call you Bring the Hurt all the time? Like, what kind of nicknames
they
we
call
have?
They call me Bring the Hurst. Or
bring the hearse,
bring the hearse, or bring it on, bring hearse. That was a good one.
Cool. All right, you may know him as @BikerBraid on Instagram. Thanks for being here. Appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, two dudes in a garage. It's how we're rolling right
it's
now.
Great.
So. Well, yeah, kind of like I said, like we just met a few minutes ago. Mm-hmm. Like, we texted a little bit, but I'm excited because, yeah, don't know you, but I've seen the shredding that you do, and being around here and at least at Eagle, like, seeing some of the gaps you've done, the quads, all this crazy stuff, the Simplot Hill,
yeah,
all that, like, knowing what that is in person helps put it into perspective when I see it on, you know, on the phone or on video or whatever. So
cool.
Yeah. You ready to get grilled?
I'm ready to get grilled.
All right. Good. You seem pretty laid back, pretty chill. So I don't think this will be too hard, huh? But let's do some quick history.
Okay.
You know, I just learned a minute ago that you grew up here, but kind of talk about where you're born, where you came from, all that stuff, and getting into bikes, that whole story.
Yeah. So I was born in Salt Lake, Utah. When I was 8, 9, I started racing BMX, and I got into that pretty heavily. When I was 11, 12, me and my buddy were traveling the country. That buddy is now Mitch Ruppolato.
Okay, yeah.
So we just had a blast as kids going and hitting the rhythm sections. Him or I weren't like the strongest or the biggest riders on the track, but we always were like picking out the most technical lines and trying to do gaps and manuals. And, we pushed each other back then, even when we were kids, we just had a ball. So we raced BMX. And then, when I was, 12, my parents looked up Boise, Idaho, and it was a great place for them to work. So we moved up here to Boise. And then Boise was great, raced BMX all through high school. And then traveled the country. It was just a great experience. I really developed through that sport. It taught me a lot about, you know, how to believe in myself, how to go after goals, and all these competition aspects of life. And it was really good.
What kind of, are you like, single A, double A, like what kind of class were you in? Were you too young for that?
I was 17, 18X, okay. And I was NAG 10 on class and then NAG 3 in cruiser.
Okay.
So it was at that point, at 18, going into my, or the end of my, or the beginning of my senior year, it was grands, and at the end of high school, I had an opportunity to keep racing BMX, or I had a cool opportunity to go out on a mission and go out and serve people, look for ways to help people. And I thought, hey, you know what? Probably in the bigger picture, that might be a little bit more important. So
cool.
I said, yeah, I'm going to go on a mission. So I did that and ended up going to California. I was right in Hemet, Riverside, Lake Elsinore, Temecula. And yeah, that came and gone. It was just a great experience. Came home. Saw my buddy Mitch was killing it. He was like riding for Specialized, and I was like, holy crap, dude. I was like, you know, we're still friends, like messaging, and I'm like, good for you. Yeah. Like, that's so cool. And then, in high school, I pole vaulted in track and field.
Whoa, really?
Yeah. So
that's not something you hear all the time, but yeah but it's kind of acrobatic, huh? Yeah, like precision.
It's got you got to be in shape aspect, but you also got to be a little crazy. Mm-hmm. So I did that in high school and did fairly well at it. I didn't have like the heights to really go on and do it in college, but when I came back,
how high are you going though?
In high school,
upside down inverted kind of over the top.
In high school I was going like 15 feet. So that was, that was pretty good.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
It was pretty good, but it, like I said, it wasn't quite to that level for like big schools to really be interested. So went on my mission, came home, and I don't know if I just got like some man strength or something, but I went up in my pole vault like 2 feet. So all of a sudden I was pole vaulting 17 feet, and I was like, okay, maybe this is my catalyst to get into a good school.
Okay.
So I kind of pursued that. I bought a pole. I bought a pole.
How much does a pole cost?
Pole's like $600-$700.
Okay. Is it fiberglass? Not carbon, is it?
It's fiberglass. Okay. Yeah. And did that, and that's when I went up the 2 feet, so I was up at like 17 feet, and that started catching some attention around in the big universities.
Okay.
And ended up getting a scholarship down at Brigham Young University in Provo, Utah.
Yeah.
And went there. It's a super competitive school. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have the best history with education growing up.
Yep.
Definitely did not put an emphasis on my studies.
Sure.
So at BYU, I knew I had to find like a major that I was really passionate about.
Okay.
And that was film.
Okay.
And so I did my major in film documentary, and then I focused on pole vaulting.
Huh.
Yeah. And pole vaulting wasn't my passion, mm-hmm. but it was a great opportunity to compete at a super high level, mm-hmm. and kind of experience that elite level attention to detail. And actually, I ended up getting 7th at the USA Championships.
Oh, cool.
And
is it just kind of wide open, or are there classes? Like,
yeah. So, I mean, at that level, it's just open.
Okay.
I mean, everyone, like I was competing against Olympians and everything.
Yeah.
And it was just a really cool experience. But as soon as I did that, I thought, I'm done. Hmm. I've accomplished everything I wanted to in this sport, and I'm done. So I just focused on the film, graduating. And then, when I graduated, my father-in-law wanted to get me a graduation present.
Okay.
And I asked Mitch, I said, "Hey Mitch, do you have any bikes that I could buy? Like, do you have any discounted bikes like that I could possibly buy?" And he said, "Nah, dude." Oh, he did, but they were like super expensive. And I was like, "Oh, I can't do that." So I found a really good deal on a Breezer repack.
Okay.
Yeah. And so got this Breezer repack, and I text Mitch and I'm like, "Dude, I got a bike." He's like, "Awesome. Like, let's go ride."
Yeah.
And we link up and go for this ride. And he's just like, "Dude," he's like, "I'm so happy you got a trail bike."
Yeah.
He's like, "If my buddies saw what you were doing on this thing, they wouldn't believe it." And I was like, "Really?" He's like, "Yeah."
Did it just come naturally? Like, all the BMX skills are sort of translated into having fun on trails?
Yeah, like the jumping part did,
yeah.
But the cornering was so different, the suspension and stuff. So I was like, "Oh wow, like I feel like really out of my world on this thing."
Uh-huh.
But
dude, before you go on,
yeah,
you skateboarded, right?
I skateboarded,
or skateboard
yeah.
still.
Yeah,
you know who Rick McCrank is?
Oh gosh, maybe I'm not into skateboarding as
All
much
right.
as
Canadian. He skates for Girl. You look just like him, and you sound just like him. So, so is Rick McCrank. We'll have to look him up.
Okay, yeah, I'll look him up. That's funny. Yeah. So, ended up, where was I? I just lost my train of thought.
You and Mitch hung out.
Yeah. Me and Mitch
hung out.
Got to ride
a little bit.
Got to ride a little bit. And then, that was in the spring of 2016.
Okay.
And then
that recently.
Yeah. Yeah. I graduated. I mean, I'm 30, but I'm kind of going through school slow and just not trying to rush. Like I don't have any reason to rush.
I'm just getting
through it. So, 2016, got the bike and rode with Mitch, and he's like, "Dude, this is so rad. I'm so excited. We're going to ride a lot more."
Yeah.
Well, that fall I'm like, "Mitch, let's make an edit. Like, let's make an edit."
Mm-hmm.
And so he texts me one day. He's like, "Hey, me and my friend Bass are in town. We're going to hit some dirt jumps." And, I met his friend Bass. I'm like, "What's your name?" He's like, "Bass." I'm like, "Oh, cool." I look him up. Like, "Oh, Bass Van Steenbergen. Oh, he's a big deal, right?"
Yeah. I was like, "Paul Bass?" Like, Van Steenbergen. Got it. Uh-huh. Yep.
Yeah. So I literally knew nobody.
Yeah.
So I'm like, "Oh, cool. Like, great to meet you, Bass." You know, like I filmed this edit of them shredding the dirt jumps down in Salt Lake.
Yeah.
And I was like,
"Is this like I Street and stuff?" Or
it was Tanner.
Tanner. That's the one down like by the...
Down by the trees overhanging it. It's pretty like green. Yeah, so made this edit for them. It was really fun, and like it was just cool seeing these riders ride these dirt jump bikes, and then kind of watching their videos and what they can do on trail bikes. And I just thought, "Man, this is cool. Like I love riding. I'm not at this level, but I love it. I just want to do more of it." So film that, and then like recently after, I'm like, "Okay, Mitch, let's do another edit. Mm-hmm. Let's do another one." And so we collaborated, and we did the one of him ripping through Salt Lake City, mm-hmm. where he's jumping down stairs,
yeah,
jumping
like the
on
urban one.
Yeah, the urban
one.
And
how did you find filming bikes? Like, was it, did it come easy enough? Just sounds like you'd filmed and had fun your whole life doing it anyway.
Exactly.
No different?
No.
Okay.
So me and my wife own a film company, and we specialize in mainly shoot weddings.
Okay.
So we do weddings, photo, and video. Mm-hmm. And I would have loved to branch into the mountain bike world and into the action sport world, but it's pretty competitive and hard to to do that. So I'm like, hey, Mitch, can I shoot an edit with you? He's respected and a really good rider. So he's like, yeah. So we went downtown Salt Lake, rode around, and scoped out some stuff, took pictures, and then it's like, okay, next week we're shooting this thing. Mm-hmm. So we went downtown, and we just started just shooting away. Mm-hmm. We found features. Okay, let's go to this feature, you know. And that, I don't know if you remember, but the one where he comes around the corner and slips out and lands on his stomach into the pile of leaves.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? Yeah. So that was like right when we started filming.
Okay.
And so it was just, it started off, it was just so fun. Mm. Like, it was such a funny thing, fun. And, you know, every shot Mitch is just sprinting like on the movie Rad, you know, and we were just like, we got to keep this going. So,
and so that was all planned. Like, just make it look,
just make it look. It. Yeah. No slow-mo, just straight up ripping through town, you know? So we shot that in, I think, 2 days, and then put that out there, and people loved it. Like, that was a hit of a video. Yeah. And then the next year, big point. When I was filming that project with him, I brought my bike with me, my Breezer. Mm-hmm. And we were trying to get a shot lined up, and we were downtown, somebody grabbed Mitch and was like talking to him and then kind of distracted us. And my bike was sitting right here. Mm-hmm. I was talking to him. We started filming. I looked over, my bike was gone.
No way.
Yeah. My bike was gone. Yeah. Downtown Salt Lake.
No way.
Oh man. I was just like devastated.
Oh, I bet. I picture Salt Lake just being like not that way.
I think we were in some pretty hood. Like it was pretty
side town.
Yeah. I think we were kind of close to some ghetto. Anyways, the bike was gone Mitch is like, no. And I'm like looking up around like, this is the worst day, you know? It's just like, there's no way I can get another bike. Like, they're so expensive. Like, that was a huge thing. And then we were driving in the car, and Mitch is like, hey, my buddy got his bike stolen, and he, like, checked with his renter's insurance. And I was like, asked my wife, I said, do we have renter's insurance? She's like, yeah. I was like, well, let's call him.
Yeah.
So we called them, and they're like, okay, well, you know, the bike on the website says it's worth this much. So with the depreciation only being a few months and then the upgrade you did, we'll go ahead and send you a check for $3,700. And I was just like, no way. This is the best case scenario.
Yeah, right.
So we got the check, just went straight to the store and bought a Specialized Enduro.
Cool.
And, oh man, I was just like, from one day to the next, I was at like both levels.
Yeah,
I
from
was
repack just, to the Enduro, yeah, like overnight.
Both, yeah, of like bike quality, but also like I was so sad when that thing was stolen.
Yeah.
But when I got that new bike, it was like, this is just insane. So
cool.
Yeah, so that's like where I got my Specialized Enduro. And then just kept riding. Hmm. And then it just one thing turned to another. I was in Utah. Lived in Park City for a year, for a summer, and really just learned to ride that steep terrain and learn just so many aspects of riding. Went on to Moab and just tried to eat it up, watch all the videos, learn technique, learn cornering, learn. Dude,
what was Moab like your first time, just when you hit slick rock and you think, this is fun, this is going to be like pavement, and then you actually get there and realize that way.
No, it's like the weirdest, like, just the weirdest thing. You think it's going to be really like smooth, like skate parky, but it's like not quite, but it's rad.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Were you riding with people? Like just
riding with Mitch, I made good connections there. I was riding obviously with Mitch and then, Mike Geezy, who's now the he's on the evil, you know who Mikey is.
Yeah, he's on the trust fork and everything. Yeah. The suspension system
and
all
that. He's a really cool guy. My good buddy, Eric Hendrickson, he's another shredder down there. Okay. I just made a bunch of really good friends. Kyle Mears in Moab.
Okay, yeah.
And just made a bunch of really good friends. Huh. And then wanted to come back to Boise. This is where my family lives. And moved up here just over a year ago.
Okay.
And had zero riding friends. Hmm. And I was like, frick, I don't want this like passion. I don't want this passion to like die because like there's nobody I can ride with. So one buddy that actually moved up here right at the same time was Stephen Graham. Mm-hmm. He was the videographer and photographer for Didi.
Yep.
And so I was pumped that he was up here. And then last winter was really mild. We could actually ride Eagle Bike Park the entire winter. Mm. And so I started my Biker Braid Instagram last mm-hmm. January in 2018. Mm-hmm. Just because I wanted to like link up with new riders in town, share some of my videos, because I just love making videos.
Yeah.
So that was it. And then it really just made new connections, just continued and continued and continued. And now it is what it is now.
Yeah. Did you have a goal of trying to, I don't know if you're making a living necessarily, but like you're riding for Canyon. Like, was mm-hmm. that in the back of your head, or were you just not having fun? Like,
no, I kind of just viewed like mountain biking as, it's kind of like because most of my rides, I get up and I start hitting the trail at 6 a.m. and I'm done and I'm off to school or work by 9:30, and I'm with my family or we're working or we're doing something. So I kind of just viewed my mountain bike as like this hobby, really. And sharing the videos, if it got people stoked, like that was great.
Yeah.
Also, I loved just making new connections. Like I have met so many cool people, and that was I guess the real goal was to meet and make new connections, and then just use it as a platform to bring people together. Like I really wanted to put on some clinics, and I don't have a history in mountain biking, but
in 2016, like, so new, and then it seemed like all of a sudden, like, check this guy out, where'd he come from, look what he's doing, all that. So yeah,
so I mean, I guess the videos built the credibility.
Yeah,
and so I last March I was talking with a shop owner in town, Ryan at Core North.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I said Ryan, I was like, I know I don't really have like the race pedigree or like the background of mountain bikes, but I want to put on a clinic. Like, I want to put on a free clinic for the community.
Mm-hmm.
And let's hold it at Eagle Bike Park. And I think there was like 40 or 50 people that showed up.
No way, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was just like, oh, this is so cool.
Huh.
You know, like this is really neat, being able to give, 2 hours on a Saturday mm-hmm. to a bunch of people that were like super grateful and super pumped to work on their skills.
Yeah.
You know?
How'd you manage so many people? Like, I'd imagine the experience level was all over the board with that many people.
So Ryan kind of prepared for that better than I did. So he's like, hey, I'm going to take like the beginners. I'm going to take, this many beginners. And then, you take off with the advanced. And so I think I had like 20, 30 people. And then by the end, after our first break, I think it probably went down to about 20.
Okay.
So,
yeah, cool.
It was really cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was really, really fun. And I think I asked people, how was it? How'd you enjoy it? And then following that, I did a few more of those, but I honed it in and made a little bit smaller groups so I could give the riders the attention that they deserved.
Sure.
But yeah, that was really fun.
Do you plan on doing more of those in the future?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. I got one. So I know that, you can only do so much on your own. So I've talked with some other riders, Kyle Warner in town. We just want to do, I'm not a coach. Like, I'm not a mountain bike coach. Mm-hmm. I don't want to really go that direction. But I love it. I love helping people.
Yeah.
And so, Kyle Warner wants to do some of it as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So here in, April, yeah, the end of April, mm-hmm. we're doing a mountain bike clinic.
Cool.
And it's going to have, three different classes, beginner, intermediate, expert.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be an all day thing where we're out there and we have groups and we're working on all different aspects of mountain biking. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. Thanks, yeah. man.
It's so cool to see how many people use that park.
Yeah.
Like when we first moved here, and I think I've said this on, it might've been on Kyle's podcast, but mm-hmm. let's see, we roll up and there's 40 kids out with this like YMCA class, or I don't know, like some city sponsored
yeah.
class. I'm like, what's going on here? What's this
I know.
About? Yeah.
It's really exciting.
Neat. So, yeah. One of the coolest things about what you're doing on like just with your videos lately, and mm-hmm. I don't know, kind of the stuff I've cruised through is mm-hmm. showcasing the technical climbing.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. And like, I feel like that doesn't happen much. Like there's, I mean, you're so new to the sport. Like, I don't know how much attention you pay, but like Chris Akrig kind of does that stuff once in a while.
Yeah.
Jeff Linoski a little bit, but
yeah.
You know, you've answered that you have BMX background, but dude, you're a nasty climber. Like you clearly have the fitness, but you're throwing the quads, you're throwing like sueys, all this stuff. Like what got you interested in the climbing part of it? Cause it seems like most people that are throwing sueys or like shredding turns aren't too concerned with going up the hill, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I can see that. And I think that kind of stems from like, you know, when I go out and ride, I got like an hour and a half, you know? So like, I kind of want to make the most out of my ride. So I've always loved, you know, technical aspects of whatever it is that I'm doing. And climbing was just another aspect that I saw a lot of opportunity for growth.
Mm-hmm. Like, <Yeah.
laughs> I mean, there, you can just get stumbled up on a rock and fall over. And the thing that's kind of cool is usually crashing on a climb, it's not detrimental. You know, it's not usually like the biggest injuries,
like going
40 right?
into a rock or something.
Yeah, exactly. It's like yeah. super technical and super hard, but the consequences usually aren't too bad.
Yeah.
So, I just, everywhere I'd ride, if there was a climb, I'd try to ride up it.
Huh, interesting.
And, you know, sometimes I'd make it, sometimes I wouldn't, but.
Would you session stuff to try and get it? You know, it's like, oh, I'm going to give it five shots or whatever, you know?
Yeah. Like, yeah, for sure. Like if I'm going up something, I'd be like, I gotta go back and do it again and give it a few shots. And if I didn't, oh, well, I'll just keep going.
Yeah.
But that was kind of it. And I just kind of learned like, man, there's a real buzz. Like there's a payoff when you make a climb.
Yeah.
And, it's funny you mentioned those other guys. It's like when I got on Canyon, I work closely with Devin Riley. He's awesome at Canyon. And I said, hey, so I want to make an all climbing edit. Mm. Right.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, that would be awesome. That would be awesome. I think it would be, even more cool if you did throw in a little bit of the descent with the style and mm-hmm. and the flow and the sueys and this. So I was like, okay, all right, we can add that in.
Uh-huh.
But I was totally game just to do a climbing edit.
Yeah.
And, went and, oh man, I lost my train of thought again. Sorry. I got a text and I saw my phone and, no, so Devin basically just said like, yeah, okay, let's make it, you know, like 60% climbing and 40% descending. So okay. I was like, okay, that sounds rad.
Mm-hmm.
So we did that and, or as I was planning for that, I saw a video come out on Pink Bike
mm-hmm.
from this guy named Chris Akrig, uh-huh. right? And I'm like, who's this guy? So I was like, okay, this guy's obviously really good.
Uh-huh.
It's like, Frank, looks like I'm not going to do that cool of a climbing edit.
Yeah. Did it suck the wind from your sails a little bit, or were you just like, well, I'm still going to keep going?
Yeah. I was like, you know, I'm not a trials rider. I don't have any history mm-hmm. in trials riding. And so my climbs aren't going to be at all like trials hopping back tire to the next rock.
Yeah.
I think it's totally different.
Mm-hmm.
So
you've got a couple moves in Transcend. There's that one where you like kind of, you sort of hop up and then you kind of like roll back and get some more speed. That was a little trialsy. I was like, oh, does he have a trials background?
Yeah. No, I guess I can see like the bunny hops up onto the ledges and stuff as being trialsy. But I guess that's just trying to get up the climb. Yeah. I didn't. Yeah. Just that's what I had to do to get up it. So that's what I did.
So you made it work.
Yeah. So, I saw that video. I thought, oh, that is so sick. From Chris.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, right on, man, that's awesome. I'm going to try to make my edit just a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
And so I liked the fact that Transcend film had the climbs in it. Maybe not as technical as some of the other guys that can climb, but I tried.
Come on. But the cool part is that it's in Moab, and so many people have been there and kind of know what you're doing and are just like, what? You went up that, and then you're like pedal wheeling up that whole one section. Like,
oh yeah, that was funny.
Has the response to the climbing part been as, like, I don't know, as gracious as the descents and the nose bonks and the sueys and all that stuff?
Yeah, I think the thing that I love about how that film turned out was just like it, and what I really tried to push was just like what the bikes that we get a ride can do. Mm-hmm. You know, they can climb, and then you push that little button, the seat drops, and then you can rock it on the way down.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, it's just, I just tried to encompass just mountain biking.
Yeah.
You know, and just like the beauty of being able to climb, reach your pinnacle, the top, get the payoff of making it up, mm-hmm. and then rip it on the way down.
Yeah.
And I think that was showed in that film.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it was super cool.
Thank you.
Give a tip or a trick for a tech climb, like some of that stuff. Like, are you spiking pedals all the time? Are you trying to get the rhythm down? Like, are you full granny? Like, what kind of gearing? All that stuff. Like,
okay,
what do you go through? Like, you don't have to go too nuts on it, but just...
Okay, yeah. You know, I think going up a climb, you got to have a little bit of speed, especially if you don't want to be hopping up the climb. I think, you know, hopping up a climb is fine. I personally don't really want to be hopping up the climbs. Mm-hmm. And so I want to like carry momentum and speed. And, so usually I'm in second to easiest gear or third to easiest gear.
Mm-hmm.
And, so I can spin. And then, also I have torque when it slows down, mm-hmm. I can still torque up through it.
Yep.
I'm clipped in, which I think helps.
Yeah.
I can clip
out. Did you
out.
Race clips when you race BMX? Like,
yeah.
Probably, huh?
So you're I race clips and I rode time clips,
mm-hmm.
and I love just how easy I can clip out of those things.
Yeah.
And so I'm totally confident powering up a climb, being clipped in. Mm-hmm. And if I need to, I can clip out real quick.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I also think it helps with the smaller pedal underneath, not, pedal striking going up through those rocks.
Yeah.
That's kind of probably... Yeah. What I have to say about climbing.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I think I looked at your Instagram account and you posted like the pedal fails kind of
video
a few days ago, a week ago, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, that got a ton of views.
It did.
A ton of response. Like, it's,
yeah.
I don't know. I think it's neat that element of it gets appreciated, or at least, you know, people can understand. Cause I think a lot of people, like myself included, like, oh, I might try something once, but then I'm like, oh, I'm just going to push up. Just get to the next section, pedal off. But
mm-hmm.
the fact you're plowing through and making it happen,
it's
pretty appreciated. I think it's really
cool. Thanks, man. It's definitely not like that film was definitely not a typical ride.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you could see that those almost every climb in that was super tough for me,
mm-hmm.
but,
it didn't look tough though. Like, you could tell they're ridiculous, but
that
you
first
made it
one,
look easy.
That first one, when I'm going up Jackson's, mm-hmm. it's Jackson's. And I'm riding up it, and then I rip up to the right and across, and then kind of pop my back tire and then keep going.
Yeah.
That, I think I did it like three times, but I had like a bunch of hops in it. Huh. And I was like, I got to make this fluid.
Make it clean. Yeah.
I got to make it fluid. I got to make this like a ride. And so that's what took me so long. And you could see on those out, like those takes, like just smashing or a pedal hits or like yeah. So
you seem like, and again, this is like kind of taking this from your Instagram channel, but mm-hmm. you seem like you do really well with seeing things that are right in front of everyone and doing something completely different with them. Mm. Like certain gaps, whatever. And mm-hmm. half of it's your ability. I mean, obviously, like, I could probably see a gap like that and never want to try it, but where do you think that comes from?
You know, I guess when I rode with Mitch the first few times,
yeah.
I noticed how, like, you know, the trail would kind of do a little turn and Mitch would just rip over and gap that whole thing.
Okay. Yeah.
I thought, oh, that's so sick. So, just from riding with him from right when I started, mm-hmm. I mean, I think one of my first mountain bike rides was with Mitch and, we rode in Draper and Corner Canyon down in Utah, and there's just a super snaky, like tons of corners. And, I'd watch Mitch hit like a root and launch up and land on the side of the trail and then roost back into the trail. And I was like, oh, that's rad. That's rad. So I definitely think that's where that stemmed from, was riding with him, seeing how he interpreted the trail.
Yep.
And then,
I mean, if you, and you and Mitch were growing up,
we grew up together,
trying to connect rhythm and stuff all the time.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So we were super, I would say we're really similar, like through rhythm sections and through like picking lines that, watching him ride, I just thought, okay, like I just need to kind of follow those lines. And then I just build on that myself and do some other things.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, it's pretty crazy to be like, you know, Noah Vidal. And then like within 1 year, I'm here getting an interview with you. Like, it's crazy.
See, I know, when you're like, 2016, I'm like, all right, well, that's why no one heard of you. Like, all of a sudden it just seems like you're out of here, just out of nowhere. Like, bam.
It's crazy. Yeah. It's so weird.
Yeah. It's pretty sick.
Well, cool, man. I'm happy that it's doing well.
Thanks. All right. We turn the heater off. Do you crash much?
You know, I definitely crash, sliding out or just more like on a silly climb or something. I really try to, I feel like I know my level, my limit.
Yeah.
And so I usually tend to knock it down a few notches, you know, and just try to really think about what I'm doing before I do it. I think if I crash, it's because I was probably trying to drink my water bottle on the trail when I shouldn't have. But I mean, yeah, accidents happen. I have a screw in my scaphoid because I broke my wrist a few years ago, right when I started.
Oh man.
Yeah. And that was after like a 50-mile ride, 8,000 feet of climbing. I tried to do a nose manual and just endoed.
Oh, really? You just put your hands out and...
Yeah, it was like off of wood. It was just so stupid. And I told Mitch, I was like, dude, I was like, I hurt my wrist. He's like, he's like, you'll learn, man. When you're tired, you just call it.
Leave that stuff alone. Yeah.
So yeah. But yeah, don't crash too often, but definitely do.
But it sounds like you're pretty calculated.
I try to be like 99%, 95% sure that I can do it before I do it.
All right, so, and like there might have been camera angle as part of it, but the climb at the top of, what's the trail called in your video, where it's
Pothole
like,
Arch, like at the very end when I'm climbing up onto that thing,
And it looks like, you know, if something happened, you'd fall off a massive cliff, like did it look as exposed?
I mean, you're on your feet, like you're not gonna fall off the cliff, but I mean, like, If you rolled down, like, you'd fall off the cliff.
Yeah, like, does you trust your gear enough? Like, do you feel like you've got to throw stuff like that in there?
No, I don't feel like I never felt like obviously I was aware of the cliff, but I never felt like I was risking it all, you know? Like, I felt like, I'm gripping this rock really good.
Mm-hmm.
And if I spin out, I just put my foot down. I could stop and hike and try it again.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that climb took me 4 or 5 tries.
Did it really?
Yeah. I mean, it's not like anything I was doing in that. I mean, that video only took us 2 days to shoot and, nothing in it. The scariest thing in it, I think, was that launch to the big rock on the end of Captain Ahab.
Mm-hmm.
But everything else It was just a few tries.
Almost.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it wasn't like I was really doing stuff I don't normally do. It felt really, really fine.
Okay, cool. Yeah. It just seems like there's a lot lately where it's people putting themselves in pretty gnarly situations, even if they're skilled, that if their gear fails, you know, like I don't like heights that much. So it kind of makes me shudder, but
I don't know how I could have fallen off the cliff.
Yeah.
Even if my gear failed, I was
just kind of lean over and stick to the rock.
I don't think it was as bad as it looked.
Okay. Yeah. Did a good job making it look super sketchy. after the foot plant on the big wall.
Yeah.
Dude, did you head slap coming out of that? Like, you slapped down super hard. And that kind of, I also want to get into you sort of touched on it, the climbing, but just like your bike setup and what you choose to ride. Like you're on the Spectral with 27.5s, like you're not on a long travel 29 or all that stuff. But yeah, like, dude, was that a head slapper?
that was a
gnarly.
That was like, definitely so I was hitting it. Like I went there. That was literally like one of the last shots we got. And the sun was going down. That was day two. And I'm like, hey, I really want to get to this wall ride. And I was pretty mentally ready to foot plant that wall ride. And I was riding it and riding it and riding it. And Kyle Mears was there and he was filming it. And I was like, it just wasn't feeling like I could get the distance on the wall ride to do the foot plant. And I did it I did the wall ride and pedaled up and went as high as I could on it. I hit the wall ride and then I turned up and pedaled up and then came down and I got some shots of that.
Yep.
And I was like, okay, that's probably good enough. I mean, that will still be cool.
Yeah.
Whatever. And then, I went up again and I was just like, hey, I'm just going to do it one more, you know? And so I come in.
Last day, one more.
Right? Not good, right?
Not at the end.
Yeah. And so I went into it with my left foot unclipped. And I'm sprinting into it. Hit the wall ride. And I tried to cover as much distance as I could. Because I know as soon as I hit the wall ride, I'm going to pretty much come straight down.
Yeah.
I'm not going to have forward momentum to carry me through it.
Right.
So I hit the wall. And you can see I start pedaling as far as I possibly can. And I throw it. And I'm like, all right, cool. I got it. And as soon as I hopped on my bike, I looked and I was like, maybe 5 feet, short of where I should have been.
Oh, you need to go further to your right, kind of?
Yes.
On the way down?
Yeah. I needed to go further to the right to hit a good transition. And I was like, okay, I'm going right down through this. I think I landed on a cactus. And so I just hit quarter pipe and then another quarter pipe and then it dropped onto the bottom of sand and sandstone. My head heavy head banged down and I was just honestly just was laughing. It wasn't that scary, but it was just pretty, I don't know, it felt pretty I felt the G's at the bottom. It definitely felt okay. I put the bike through some testing right there.
Through the paces.
Yeah.
Do you ever want to ride a bigger bike? Is this bike, are you happy with it? Are you a bike nerd yet? With how you set stuff up?
Bike nerd. I love the feel of this bike just because it's so light. It's so nimble. I can flip that thing around so easy. I mean, one of the first days I rode it, I was 360 and right, and I've only 360 left. So I was learning 360s both ways on it and whipping it, just all these things, climbing it. I just felt like, okay, this is really fun. Because before I had the Enduro, I was on the Specialized Enduro.
Yeah.
And that was fun. I thought I don't want another bike. This is it. But then when I rode the Spectral with a little bit less travel, it's lighter. I was just like, oh my gosh, this is so sick.
Yeah.
I can do everything now I want on this bike.
Yeah.
And I think right when I got it, I went and I hit that Simplot send and I went 65 feet Like, we measured it out when I floated down that knoll.
Dude, that's one of my questions. Like, the Simplot Hill, like...
Yeah, so I was like...
Was it 65 feet?
It was 65 feet. I mean, it was a knoll, so I was only like 4 or 5 feet high, but I just floated.
Yeah, but still, you went for a mile. It's like ski jump style.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was like just ski jump status. So, you know, right from the get-go riding that bike, I thought, like, this is so rad. Mm-hmm. And then I just love the fact that... For trail bikes, that's the bike I'm on that I love, that I don't really feel like I need to go to another bike. Mm-hmm. But I'll probably ride, you know, like some long travel 29ers or short travel bikes, but I don't really see myself doing like downhill bikes.
Yeah.
I just don't right now. Like, I go out and ride in the mornings before work and school.
Yeah.
And that's good enough for me.
Yeah.
<That's> so rad. My bike that I got is perfect.
Is it out of the box stock? Like, do you dork around with it? It's just stock.
Straight up stock. Yeah. I think just for that Moab edit, I took the rear tube out.
Okay.
Literally out of the box. Yeah. Like, got it from Canyon, pumped up the old tubes, threw the right PSIs in the shocks. She was ready to rip.
There you go. That's it.
But yeah, for the Moab edit, I pulled out and put a Cush core in there because the terrain is a little bit more rough there than here in Boise, Idaho.
Yeah, for sure. Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Right? You're pretty active in the comments of, you know, your content. Mm-hmm. Is that for fun? Do you feel it's important? Like, how do you deal with any hate that comes up, if any? I mean, it's your stuff's so solid. It doesn't seem like it'd be, it seems like it'd be a hard job to hate on that.
You know, I think social media is just a great tool. I think it's a great thing to, like, a great way to connect to people. If somebody's going to take the time, like on one of my videos, to give me like a fire or like 100 or like a high five, mm-hmm. or something, I'm going to give them a high five back. Yeah. You know, it's just, I don't see why not. It's not like I'm this uber famous person. I mean, I get a few comments. I don't know. Uh-huh. I get a few comments and it's easy. You know, maybe takes me 10 minutes on a post to message everyone a little high five or like something simple.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's important. I think it is important because people want to, you know, I guess know that they're heard.
Yeah.
You
sure.
know, mm-hmm. I've left comments on people's stuff and, you know, you don't really think much about it, but you never hear back.
Yeah.
And so I just think it's kind of important.
Cool. Is that like part of the deals you have set up? Like, are you, you know, like working with Canyon? Mm-hmm. Is that part of what you have to do? Okay.
No.
And you don't have to go into specifics, but.
No, yeah. My deals with Canyon are solely based on projects. I mean, I own this film company and my wife, she's incredible. She's the filmer.
Mm-hmm.
And we get to go out and make these fun projects. You know, it's just really funny. When we were 15 and 16, we dated when we were in high school. We would go out and make these projects. And now, you know, we're married, we have two kids, we're getting paid to make these projects. Like, cool. It's just a really fun thing. So definitely not in any form or way part of like my agreement with these bike companies or bike brands to be active on my social media.
Okay.
I think it's just something that I enjoy. And like I said, making new connections, making new friends and helping out. I mean, I do all kinds of things to get people stoked. Like on my social media, I'll do, you know, I don't really care about getting new followers or doing stuff like, hey, follow me and I'll give you a hat. Like, I really couldn't care less about that. but I do care about that, like, hey, share a story of something you did cool in your mountain bike community or just in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll pick a few people to send a hat. And it's just like, it's kind of silly, you know, it's kind of goofy, but I feel like that's different.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's rewarding people that
got involved, we got involved and we gave bikes to these underprivileged kids, you know, like rad, like that's cool. So I try to just be a little bit different in those ways and get people involved in unconventional, like, follow me, like the photo.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. No, I think that's cool. Do you care if your content gets poached by some other account? You
know, absolutely, like, not.
No, that's good.
Free advertising, man. Okay. Like, when I was first getting my videos, and sharing my videos, I would take my videos and I would share them with, like, indirect messages. I would share them with the bike stable. Mm-hmm. I would share them with, there's some other ones out there. There's hundreds of them out there. Like, yeah, these mountain bike, you know, trending,
kind of just
video,
catch all things.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I thought,
why not?
So, you know, send them some videos, like, see if they liked them or not. And the first one was, with Bike Stable, and it was that wall ride in Moab, like last March. I did it and they posted it. And then, that gained me a little bit of, traction with people following me.
Interesting.
And then, just continue to do that and continue to do it and continue to do it. And I guess the goal behind that was, to possibly get to this point to have, like, a free bike, you know. Uh-huh. Like, it took me like maybe 5 minutes to grab a shot on my ride.
Yeah.
And if it gained traction and credibility online, maybe somehow that would lead to a bike one day.
Yeah.
But it came a lot quicker than I thought.
Yeah, cool. Does it ever get to the point where you have to begrudgingly pull your phone out and get something filmed, or make sure you've got to get something, you know, this day or within a week or anything like that?
Mm-hmm. You know, I try, like, if I'm going to post something, like, I want it to be something that I am stoked on.
Mm-hmm.
If it's just stuff, like, if it's just a dumb photo, I'm not going to post it.
Yeah.
So I try, like, to really post stuff that, has a meaning, whether it's the message that I share or it's the actual video or content of it. Yeah. I mean, sometimes, like, if I post something, I'm like, oh, that's just so stupid, I'll just take it down. Or if it has that feel of emptiness, it's just like this stupid, thoughtless post, I'll take it down.
Okay.
Like, I don't want to, I definitely don't want to, like, I don't want to annoy people. Mm. But I want to get people pumped to go ride their bike.
Yeah.
Like, that's fun to me.
Yeah. Dude, it works so far. All right. Are you really conscious of your kit, like your outfit, like all black, nothing crazy, pretty subtle? Is that conscious?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, I,
this dude's like Knight Rider Steez. It's pretty sick. Like,
there's just, thanks. Just
super clean.
Well, thanks, man. Like, I definitely, I feel like my Specialized Enduro was like the black on black Specialized Enduro.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. That's how I've always kind of been. I've always kind of been like, I don't really want to, like, if I'm going to get a sick bike, like, I just want the bike to be, I just want that to be the thing. I don't want to be like rocking this big old Specialized logo on my bike. Like, I don't know. It's just probably a personal thing. Like, I like the stuff that I have to fit and to look the way that it looks, but not just like with a big logo slapped on it.
Yeah.
So whether it's like, that's one of the reasons I love Club Ride Apparel. They're not like, look at me, I'm some sick racer. You know, they're like, hey, here's a sweet looking shirt. Super low key.
Like streetwear almost.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's got a pocket in the back. It's got vents under the armpit. So it's a riding gear. Yeah. And it's just casual. Yeah. And it's not trying to call attention to itself.
Yeah. Yeah. Rich Houseman had some of their jeans on it. We did a Big Bear Ditch Day thing, but like, no, these are Club Ride. I'm like, dude, those are sick. Cause I thought he was just in regular jeans.
Yeah.
They're pretty cool.
It's different. And I think that's refreshing. And that's like I see myself, I don't see myself as like a park guy, a bike park guy. I don't see myself as, just, I just see myself as a trail rider. Like, I just want to go, I want to be able to go ride the trail and then say, hey, call my wife. Hey, babe, meet me at this place with the kids. Let's grab a bite to eat.
Yeah.
And not be like all kitted out.
Totally. How do you get through the winter right now? I mean, I know you said last year it was, you could ride most of the winter.
Yeah.
It's been pretty muddy, some snow, like not a lot of riding going on too much here, but what do you do?
Well, you know, usually I do love snow skiing. Since going to school at Boise State and just trying to make it through school with as little debt as possible, I've gone skiing a few times this year. The Owyhee Mountains out in Melba, Idaho have been so good.
That's where a lot of your clips are from recently,
yeah.
Huh?
Or like, yeah.
Sort of lately.
It like drops down like 200 feet in elevation from the Boise floor.
Okay.
And so there's just, I don't know, this climate effect down out there that it does not get the same snow or moisture as here in the Treasure Valley up in Boise.
Mm-hmm.
And so being able to go out there and ride, you know, once a week, 5 miles, 8 miles, hardly anything, has just been huge.
Okay.
Like, I just got to get out and move and move my legs. And that's probably just helped me get through winter.
Yeah. How much more school do you have?
So I started in August 2018.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm coming up here in the next few months with finishing my first year.
Okay.
And then another year. So
sure. Are you planning to travel much to go ride, or are you kind of staying local till you get through school?
Honestly, I'm kind of just planning on doing my thing. Like, I have,
sick.
So my thing with Canyon, and Club Ride is they've agreed on a certain amount of film projects.
Okay.
And so that's what I want to do. So the thing that's great about that is it fits into my schedule, and I don't have to do anything else other than that. And so, I don't really plan to travel and do a bunch of riding other places other than where I'm going to go film.
Yeah.
I honestly love riding bikes right here in Idaho and Utah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's some really, really good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. I think it's really neat that it's not about this like constant wandering, whatever. It's like kind of pick your zone, get to know it intimately. Like, I don't know. I think that's a neat way to get it done for
Thanks,
sure.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny. People are always like, dude, I love your approach to this trail or that trail. Like, when I came to Boise, people are like, man, I was starting to think the trails in Boise were just so stagnant and boring. And then I see you ride them and I think, oh my gosh, I've never seen that before.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it gets me pumped hearing that. But yeah, I mean, I go out and I ride a trail and then, I don't know. It's like it's like different speeds. I mean, you go through it at a medium speed, you see stuff, you go through it at like a fast speed, you can see bigger stuff.
Yeah.
You can just see like so many different options. Every trail you go through at different speeds and like, I don't know. I just try to find new lines, find a new rock. I'm always, you know, on the climb, I'm always flipping rocks off the trail, like clearing it as I'm
cool.
going. Like, I don't know. I just try to enjoy it the most that I can. And
yeah.
It's been pretty fun to see like people like, wow, you just make it look so fun. I'm like, that's cool.
It's true. You do. Like, I see the stuff. I'm like, wow, you could do that out at Eagle. Like, sick. I'm going to go back there. I'm going to go back and look at it and not ever dream of doing it. But
well, thanks, man.
Is it Mitch and Geezy, are they Dumpster Fire and you? Give me some Dumpster Fire background.
Dumpster Fire.
It's the sweetest name ever. I first saw it with Mitch.
Yeah, so like Mitch started it and like, you know, it's just totally a fun thing. Like,
yeah.
There's like a bunch of riders down there that are part of the Dumpster Fire crew.
Okay.
I don't know them all, but like, it's basically just for fun.
Yeah.
I mean, just like, don't take it too serious. I mean, come on, we're riding bikes, you know, like this should be fun. This should not be like super serious, like as serious as some people take it. And like, You know, I did sports, especially pole vaulting, where like I understand the pressures of competing and how like you've got to train at like a super level, and dude, it sucks the fun right out of it.
Yeah.
So like I feel, and for me, like that would not be fun. Mm-hmm. That would take the fun right out of it. But I know there's people out there that just love that, mm-hmm. love that.
Yeah.
And so for those people, like, awesome, you know, keep pushing it. But like for me, no, yeah. Mountain biking is just for fun.
Yeah.
Dumpster fire. It's just comical.
Are you going to race ever? Like you ever have ideas like, oh, let's go try a race here and there.
You know, I don't know. I'm not going to say no. I did a race this last August. It was like my first actual enduro race. Mm-hmm. There was a Idaho Mountain Enduro up at Jug Mountain. Mm-hmm. And, I just got a wild hair like days before and registered, and I kind of, raced it. And at the end, you know, like I had a plan, I executed my plan. I felt really good with how I did. Yeah. I like did exactly what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And
did your pole vaulting history kind of give you some prep? Like, you're like, all right, I'm going to compete, so I'm going to lay certain things out.
Yeah. I had a plan of execution. That's sick. Like mental, like, okay, you need to, you know, you need to let's just put 70% effort forth. And if you can do that, I think you're going to be fine. Like I had all the, like, these, like, it's just like who I am if I really go after something. So I did exactly what I wanted to do. It was a fun experience competing. But I didn't love it.
Yeah.
I think I would have more fun with some of my friends just going there in the morning, pedaling it, riding, mm-hmm. and then heading back and hanging out with the family. Like it just wasn't 100% for me. Yeah. But I think it was overall a really fun experience.
Yeah. Cool. That's good. Your kids ride yet? They getting on bikes?
No, man. I just got two little girls. My 4-year-old, she's just, I mean, I tried to put her on a Strider and she just throws it down.
Yeah.
No, can't force it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Give us a, we'll wrap it up cause it's cold. We're in a garage and it's like 48 degrees or something, but give a shout out to all your sponsors and then we'll wrap it up.
Okay.
Unless there's anything else you want to talk about that we didn't touch on.
Nah, no, man. I appreciate you having me here.
Dude, I'm psyched.
I definitely, I'm just pumped.
Cool.
I got something I want to say.
Okay.
So, you know, this last year, the Idaho Mountain Enduro Series or Idaho Enduro Series. There you go.
Okay.
They stopped. So there's no thing happening this year. Hmm. So, I could kind of sense like people were kind of bummed out about it because it was a fun thing. It brought people together. Mm-hmm. And so I mentioned to my buddy, he runs Boise Trails and, he's an attorney. He really understands how things need to be set up. Mm. And I said, hey, I think we should start a Boise Mountain Bike Festival. And he's like, oh man, I'm so busy. He's like, but I think that could be cool.
Yeah, totally.
And so he, you know, we kind of just toss it around. Hey, maybe we could do this. Maybe we could do that. Anyways, it's in the works. The Boise Mountain Bike Festival.
Sick.
Yeah. So we got, Bogus gave us the 2 thumbs up to have it hosted up there.
Oh, cool.
Resort. Like we want it to be like, cross country, downhill, enduro, trail, like all the aspects.
Why not? Yeah. Like why limit it?
Exactly. And so we want to bring all the shops together. We want to bring, there's a coaching service in town. We want to bring them in and get their name out there so they can, you know, get their coaching service. There's a shuttle service in town. We want them to
is
be
that
involved.
Shuttle boy.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. We want like,
gotta meet him still.
Yeah. He's a great guy, but like we want to bring the shops together. Mm-hmm. We want to bring just all the like-minded mountain bike community together.
Heck yeah.
And, I mean, cause really at the end of the day, we're just riding bikes. And if you can make friends and connections out in your town and in your community, it just makes things more fun.
Yeah.
So that's the goal of the Mountain Bike Festival.
That's sick.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm really excited on. I'm really excited about that. Yeah, that's just been in the works, and that's what I was excited to tell you about when we were trying to decide this this podcast.
Good time. Yeah, cool.
So that's that. Yeah, working with Canyon Bikes has been absolutely incredible. I mean, they reached out to me really early on. I was talking actually with some other bike companies.
Okay.
And when I first started getting approached by bike companies, I was like, no way. Yeah. Like, this is crazy.
It was based off your Instagram actions pretty
solely.
Much? Yeah.
Uh-huh. And I spit back like, hey, like, I don't just want a bike. Like, if we're going to do this, like, I want to have funding for projects. Mm-hmm. And this is what I want to do. This is kind of my goal. This is where I see myself being an asset to you guys. Mm-hmm. You know, like Maddie Miles for Specialized. Mm-hmm. And like some of these other riders and filmers. And I was like, that's like where my passion is. Mm. And so I kind of put up a proposal and I sent it. When they asked me like, hey, we see you're not on a bike, you know, what can we do? And
yeah.
I said, this is what you can do.
Yeah, let's go big.
And they said, yeah, I kind of shot for the stars a little bit, yeah. But I thought, I have a great bike right now. I don't just need a free bike, mm-hmm. So whatever. And Devin at Canyon fired back and said, hey, that sounds like that could fit right in line with our marketing plans this year. And he's like, let's talk on the phone. So I got on the phone and it's just been nothing but just like so much support and like, kind of the mindset is just like dream big, you know, like this is just the beginning. Yeah. After that transcend edit, it's like, this is just the beginning. So
cool.
Thank you. Yeah. Cool. Super pumped. Club Ride, same thing. Have some film projects lined up with them.
Okay.
And then, just super honored. Like Cam Zink is supporting me with grips,
cool.
Census grips. Yeah. Yep. So nice. Yes. Yeah. And then, Craig at Troy Lee's getting me hooked up with the helmets.
Yeah. It's sick. What
and,
up?
And then Time Pedals, Ryan at Time Pedals. They're really cool. And I'm excited to do some stuff with them in the future for what they have going on with their new stuff. So yeah, super grateful. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thanks for coming on. Appreciate that.
And thanks for having me.
I can't wait to get out and see your Schralping in person. We'll get there. Snow clears up a little bit.
So, seriously. Yeah. But,
cool. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
At Biker Braid on Instagram, right?
That's right.
B-R-A-Y-D. Cool. Thanks. Easy. Thanks for tuning in to Vital MTB's The Inside Line Podcast. Episodes drop every other Wednesday. Thanks to Jensen USA and Maxxis Tires for the support. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Vital MTB.